I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short or brown or round or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from the Etc. Theatre in Camden, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global Pillage. I'm your host, Deborah Frances White. This is the show starring you, the Hive Mind.
And if you worry, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think it's what I heard the man say. I got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
Hello, I'm Deborah Frances White and this is Global Pillage, the comedy show all about idioms, cultures, customs and norms, demonstrating just how odd the human race is. I'm joined today by four delightful comedians who will show off their cosmopolitan outlooks and wide frames of reference, or if that doesn't work, just make knob gags. This is a show where you, the hive mind of the audience, don't have to sit in silence, just seething, knowing the answer. No, we're going to come to you. And if you know the answer, shout it out. And if you don't know the answer, shout it out. Otherwise, Ned Sedgwick on scores will deduct points for no answers at all. On my left, playing for the ones on the left, brackets politically, close brackets, Avery Edison and Radu Isaac. And on my right, as fantastically corrupt mate, Gabriel Abulu and Felicity Ward. And the audience is playing for the hive mind. And if you're listening at home or jogging in the park or on a bus, they are representing you. Now, making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, please welcome Ned Sedgwick on Wikipedia in Pedant's Corner.
Hello.
And on keyboard, being fantastically musical, implausibly musical, please welcome the wonderful Mark Hodge. All right, so the ones on the left, Avery, how are you diverse, Avery Edison?
I'm a transgender woman, which is very popular these days. I'm gay, which is confusing. I have mental health problems, so I'm on medication that makes me twitch, so you'll keep seeing me adjust my eye during the show.
You sound mid-Atlantic.
I do. I'm British. I'm very, very British. I was brought up down in Dorset, but after a little while I left Dorset because that's what you should do if you live in Dorset. And I went over to America first and then up into Canada, and I spent way too long in Toronto. And then after a little while, came back here.
So. Okay, so you're so fantastically diverse. I think we should have ended with you.
Yeah.
Because now, Radu Isaac, how are you diverse? Compete with that.
I'm just Romanian. I'm white. I can't keep a rhythm. Earlier, I was just mouthing the words. If I would have sang, I would have ruined the song.
Oh, on my right, the fantastically corrupt mate. Why are you called fantastically corrupt mate first?
Because of David Cameron's comments about Nigeria being fantastically corrupt.
Oh.
And Gabrielle is his parents?
Parents
are Nigerian. A Nigerian, and mate is, you know.
Yeah, because you are a little bit Australian.
It's because I sound like a banjo, that's why.
So, Felicity Ward, that might answer the question, how are you diverse?
I'm Australian, not that diverse. Well, we do, but we pretend that we're not. I had a pan toilet until I was 11. And a pan toilet is kind of like a biscuit tin with a hat, and it gets empty. It's a toilet that gets emptied once a week by a dunny man.
Wow. So you had poor sanitation.
Yes.
That is diverse.
Pre-Victorian sanitation.
Wow.
And I play guitar. I'm just trying to mix it up.
No, sure. No, sure.
And I'm white and I'm hetero, which makes me like really diverse.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Gabriel Abulu, how are you diverse?
Well, obviously, there's one obvious reason I'm diverse, because I am, you know, this sexy shade of chocolate. That's what we call ourselves in the meetings you're not invited to. You have them too. You just call them Prime Minister's questions. That was the first truth bomb of the night. I am diverse because I'm a black man from Peckham and my parents are from Nigeria.
Lovely. Okay. And Mark Hodge on keyboards, how are you diverse?
I'm not obviously terribly diverse, except that I am a gay piano player living in Brighton.
So you're diverse in London, but in Brighton you are just couldn't be more the norm.
Absolutely run of the mill.
And Ned Sedgwick in Pedant's Corner, how are you diverse?
On the surface, I might just be another straight, white, middle-class Englishman, but I can speak conversational Burmese, so I'm basically, you know...
Yeah.
Mix there. Basically.
We're all waiting to see how you finish that sentence. I'm
going to be honest here. I started the sentence and I was like, this is going to end very badly.
Sorry, I take issue with middle class?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Can we bump it up a bit? Yes. Just up to upper class?
Okay. Yeah. Lower upper middle class.
Ned Sedgwick is in that very small band, Lower Upper Middle Class. That is quite marginalised, to be honest.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a toughie. You have to, you know, you don't get a job in Parliament, you're screwed.
I mean, when will you guys get a break? That's what I want to know.
Tell me about it.
Where's your rally?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Could you say, where's your rally in Burmese?
I was just going to say something in Burmese. That's not the kind of conversation that I have.
Rally in Burma?
How are you doing? What's the weather like? Where's your rally, actually? Ironically, there were quite a lot of rallies going along when I lived in Burma.
That's what I was saying. You wouldn't want to say that in Burma. You might start to riot.
Yeah. It's very peaceful, actually, Deborah. But,
sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. That was an uninclusive thing to say. It was a microaggression.
That was mhotbu, as they say there.
What does that mean?
Bit shit.
We always learn the important things in other languages,
don't you? All right. Okay. So every episode of Global Pillage, our hive mind gets to create a piece of music. Mark.
All I need is one letter from A to G. We're going to start up here at the back.
C.
Okay. I'm going to do three from the audience. Anyone?
D.
D? Okay, we are now writing the theme tune to EastEnders. Right, okay, so that's C and D. Yep. Down here.
F.
Oh, I like that. Very nice. And one from the panel, please. The ones on the left, brackets, politically closed brackets.
E.
Okay. All right, that's all right. We can work with it. And one from Fantastically Corrupt. I feel a bit like Rachel Riley in Countdown. Okay, there is definitely one here, but can you come back to me a bit later on? There's definitely a way to do it.
All right, the first round today, our theme is life and death. Life and death. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first. All right, fingers on buzzers. When raising money for a funeral, one tribe in Indonesia does what unusual fundraising activity? Fantastically Corrupt, mate.
Do they take requests of who to kill and then do a collection? So they do it on behalf of families that want other people killed, and that's how they raise money for their own funeral?
Yeah.
Gabe, okay. Is that what you're thinking as well?
correct.
Yep.
So is that your final answer? Fantastically yeah. correct, mate. Yeah. Yep. Pleased with that answer. Okay, the ones on the left brackets, politically brackets. What do they do?
If I'm honest, I want to refuse to answer this one on the grounds that if it's anything but Kickstarter, it's obsolete.
Do you think people are Kickstartering their funerals? What? But you'd
they
have
should.
To get
they
takes
should.
Ages on Kickstarter. You'd have to get going well into your life, wouldn't
well,
you?
Well, they I can mean, use you know Indiegogo or Just Giving. I think
feel like
one.
It would be Indie Dead Dead.
Yes.
Or Just Died.
Mm-hmm.
Radu?
I was thinking maybe something like they were pre-selling their valuables.
Pre-selling their valuables. So you sell off your piano just as you're about to die.
Yes.
Whose death are you planning?
That would make me diverse, wouldn't it? No longer being alive.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. That's true. If our keyboardist was
I
dead.
I think it's pretty hack to be dead. It's been done many times before.
Hive mind of the audience. When raising money for a funeral, one tribe in Indonesia does what unusual fundraising activity? Yes?
I reckon it's entrance fee to kind of see the body before you have the burial.
Ooh. Charge entry to see the corpse before the funeral. That is a great idea.
Tribal
and in
capitalism.
A very real way, something no one's thought of for the Edinburgh Festival.
Well, it depends how you're talking about dying.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's on stage, for me, it's most nights I charge.
Charge to see me die. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Yes?
Put the body on a podium like the statues at South Bank.
Put the body on the podium like the statues at South Bank. And then you charge for it like art, like an art exhibition.
Yeah, except the statue's not going to... Say hello.
No, the statue will have limited dialogue. So no matter how many coins you put in the machine, it's because on the way here, walking through Camden, there was a man, he was sort of straddling something and he was painted silver. And when you put money in his box, he started fishing with a fishing rod. He jiggled. Did you see him coming out of Camden Town Tube? No, okay, go back now and you see it. So it's like that was just a disappointing, frozen, moving statue in Covent Garden. Okay, all right, so audience, do you think it's A, charge money to see the body, or a disappointing moving statue? Okay, all right, just one buzz for that. In fact, the answer is they walk the corpse around their community and people donate money to them, like penny for the dead guy. In Tibet, they perform what are known as sky...
Tibet. I think you'll find
Tibet.
Tibet.
Well, you know, all right, that's not very inclusive.
In Romania, it's called Tibet.
Thank you.
In China, it's called China, so...
In Tibet, they perform what are known as sky burials. What happens to the deceased person in a sky burial? Fantastic necrop, mate.
Is this where they just put a body in a bag and then stick it in the luggage compartment of a plane and just stays there until it decomposes?
Okay. Is it a Ryanair death?
Do you know when someone dies on a plane, they have to fold them up and put them in a cupboard?
I thought it was they just put a sheet. They weren't allowed to move them. They just put a sheet in it.
I read just today on the internet that if you're sitting next to someone who dies, what they do is they just make them look like they're asleep because they're not allowed to declare them dead on the plane. It's too complicated. So they say they're dead on arrival.
You have to have like a proper person, like a doctor or coroner, to say what they're dead. So.
Is there a coroner on the plane? If you hear that,
that's a bit of a giveaway, though, isn't it?
No, it's fine, they're just asleep.
Yeah. When I went back to Australia at Christmas, someone passed away on the flight. Yeah.
It was... Did they put them in a cupboard? Is this how you know this?
Did they walk it up and down to raise money for
Excuse me, I know that you're sleeping, but someone's just died. Have you got a few? You know when they get to save the children?
Yeah, save the change.
Those envelopes, they just put
You'd
that towards
the You'd foreign change in, wouldn't you, if someone died on the flight?
We'll be selling some perfume and collecting money from the person who died in row A12.
All right, so what's your final answer, Gabriel?
Maybe it's just like they take them skydiving because it's a nice thing. Maybe they want to go skydiving when they're alive.
Yeah.
It's like, let's do it when he's dead.
Yeah, so just throw them out of a plane.
And just like you can incorporate him to the parachute, you know?
Yeah, or maybe
it's
like
a tandem.
Yeah, maybe it's tandem and then part of the ritual is halfway down they go, I release you.
Yeah.
I mean, quite like that.
Unfortunate for the people below, but that's, you know, it's not your real problem anymore, is it? Once you've let go of them.
But ironically, if that was how the previous person had died,
I know that
by being
be.
Hit oh, by a true. By a sky death,
out of the pan into the fire,
absolutely. So the ones on the left brackets politically, what is your answer?
I think the pall bearers just throw the body up and down in the air, like a certain number of time, maybe the age the deceased was.
Birthday punches? So you're like 21, 22.
So the pallbearers throw them out. So if they were 75 years of age, the pallbearers have to throw them in the air 75 times.
Yeah, because they deserved it. They lived long.
Okay. Avery, is that your final answer? Are you going to back him on that, or do you have another suggestion?
I have actually read about this. It's sort of similar to... They tie helium balloons, like, up... to the coffin, and then it floats off somewhere. But the problem is the balloons, when they get down to the ground, they deflate. Hedgehogs get caught in them.
When you say you've read about this, where have you read about this? I'm highly sceptical about this reading. About helium balloons tied to a coffin.
Yeah.
And then...
Sure.
Then the hedgehogs get tanned.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. I should have gone with straight hardline facts on this one. What am I even doing here? I forgot this was my dissertation defense.
Hive mind of the audience. Do you have any smart ass answers? Yes.
Do they cremate the body and then throw the ashes out to the highest point?
Oh, cremate the body and throw the ashes to the highest point?
That
yes.
Just makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yes?
Do they put them out on a mountain and let vultures eat them?
Put them out on a mountain and vultures eat them?
Grim.
Or?
I was going to say the same.
You were going to say the same? Okay, hive mind, yes?
I think it's... I think they do the burials live on Sky TV.
Okay, so any buzzers for throwing the ashes up high? Any buzzers for showing the death on Sky TV? And any buzzers for taking it up a mountainside and leaving it for the vultures? And you are correct, Hive Mind. It is. They are cut up, put on a mountainside, and left for the vultures. Finnish government send to every parent for their newborn babies to sleep in.
I actually think I know this.
Fantastically corrupt, mate.
That doesn't mean that my memory is working, though.
Sorry, do we get points for thinking we know an answer?
Yes, yes.
Because I would like to claim all questions going forward. I think I know the answers to those too.
I think that they get a cardboard box, and in the cardboard box is bedding and nappies and things for... This is a real answer. It's not a funny answer. But they, as opposed to my other ones. Anyway. I think they get a cardboard box and it's got bedding and dummies and nappies, and at the end, if they can't afford a crib, they can use the cardboard box as a crib, I think.
So it's a Scandinavian project to put babies in boxes.
Okay. Yes. Interesting. So, and they're very easy to mail at the end of that. The postage is quite cheap.
Or could I say, as an inclusive show, or female?
Or female.
What does the Finnish...
That deserved more, guys. That was actually very good. Yeah.
What does the Finnish government send to every parent for their newborn babies to sleep in? The ones on the left, politically brackets.
I would say maybe paperwork. So if the baby poops in the paperwork, then it's complete. And you get the birth certificate.
It's the only signature they can do at that age.
Yes.
Paperwork. Okay, Avery, is that your final answer?
I'd like to go with the same as Felicity's, but I know the name of it. It's called a startish.
Oh, a startish. Okay.
And then
you say you know the name of it, Avery, but last time you claimed to have read about a helium balloon coffin with a hedgehog situation.
Well, see, you've only had the first part of the joke. Okay. So,
sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry I fucked up your punchline. I'm so sorry. I really thought that was real. I'm so sorry. I really should stop believing you.
It's just because, you know, they startish so they'll finish.
Oh! Yeah, I totally actually believed that.
I was actually
so seduced by that answer. I didn't see a punchline.
I was Wikipediaing Startish.
Yes.
I was really close to being like, that's very good. Extra points for getting the finish right.
They start you, so they finish. So Hive Mind, what does the Finnish government send to every parent for their newborn babies to sleep in?
It's a box.
Buzz, if you think it's a box. It is, in fact, a cardboard box. Yay! And it's the end of the round.
Yay! And the scores for Ned Cedric.
The ones on the left, brackets politically, with 5 points. Woo! Fantastically Corrupt with 20 points. Woo! And The Hive Mind with 20 points too.
Fantastically Corrupt, mate, you are neck and neck with The Hive Mind. The ones on the left, brackets politically, you might as well go home. Okay.
The left always loses.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The second round is everyone's favourite round,
idioms.
What is the meaning of this foreign phrase, which we have literally translated into English? Fingers on buzzers. In Germany, they say something is dragon fodder. What is dragon fodder? Fantastically Corrupt, mate.
I'm using all of my Hobbit knowledge. I want to say gold. That's really, literally the only reference that I have.
Dragon fodder, gold.
Because Mal blasts
him. I think is the word magic, magic, magic in my head. I don't know.
Magic.
Maybe can combine the
two. Do you have OCD or? Yeah. Magic, it's magic, it's magic. I've got to say it 3 times, otherwise the world falls down. You would think that humans would be dragon fodder.
Yeah. Or like St. George.
I doubt the Germans are saying anything to do with St. George.
You don't know.
I do, because I've got it on my card.
Yeah, you do. You know.
I'm the only one that knows.
What do you want to go with? What are you going to want to go with? No idea. Come on, game.
I think it's people.
Just people, mate.
Dragon fodder refers to people.
Yeah, because they're like fodder to the dragons. Thanks.
Okay, dragon fodder refers to people. The ones on the left, brackets politically.
I don't think I can answer this. I haven't gotten that far into Game of Thrones yet.
I'm afraid it's a spoiler from season 8.
Yeah. Like, big food. Like, if there's a lot of food, because dragons are big and they would need...
Like a feast.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Radu Isaac?
English stories? Maybe they refer to... Because I think, like, the English have a lot of stories about how they defeated dragons. So when somebody's kind of bullshitting, it's dragon fodder.
Oh! It's interesting that you equate English stories with bullshitting. Hive Mind, what's dragon fodder in Germany?
Yes? Red rag to a bull.
Yes? Red rag to a bull?
Cannon fodder, like, if you're in the army, don't like people, you just say, go walk on that minefield.
Mm-hmm. Right, so directing a soldier to go and walk on a minefield because you don't like him, like a cannon fodder, okay?
What are you, 8?
Yeah.
Dark, mate. That is dark.
That is dark. But you are dark when you're a child. How old are you?
14.
14.
Great, okay. Don't assume. There's nothing worse as a 14-year-old boy than being assumed by a grown woman to be an 8-year-old.
Yeah, but he thinks I'm 50 and nearly dead.
Okay, so the answers the hive mind are going with are cannon fodder. Buzz now if you think it's cannon fodder. Red rag to a bull. Buzz now if you think it's red rag to a bull. It is, in fact, the gift a man gives a woman after he fucks up.
So I was right. It's gold.
Ah. No points.
No points.
In Persia, they say, I want to eat your liver. What does that mean? Fingers on buzzers. Fantastically corrupt, mate.
You're an alcoholic.
Okay, I want to eat your liver because you're an alcoholic and it will go down very well. It is the nice Chianti. Okay, I want to eat your liver. The ones on the left, politically, brackets.
Some sort of PG blowjob where you kind of lick upwards from the genitals.
A PG blowjob? I have literally never heard of a PG blowjob before. Hive mind, I want to eat your liver. In Persia, they say that. What do they mean?
Literally.
Literally want to eat your liver. It's not an idiom at all. They just mean it. Yes?
You want to take on their troubles, so you want to share their...
Yeah. Oh, want to take on their troubles. Ooh. Okay. Is it literal, Buzz Now? Is it you want to take on their troubles, Buzz Now? It actually means I love you. Oh. Yeah, and it's I love you so much, I want to eat your liver. And apparently it's something they specifically say to children. Like, you're so cute. I want to eat your liver. It's like you're so squeezable, baby. You go, oh my God, I want to eat your liver. You're so cute.
I think that about my niece. I want to rip her head off and eat it. I just want to drown her in soy sauce. I just love her.
Okay, so Felicity Ward is diverse because only she understands this reference.
I want to point out that we're the closest to the real answer.
In what way?
Blowjob and love?
No, it's sent to children. No, Radu. No.
Still the closest.
In France, they say you have an arse full of noodles. What do they mean?
You got an
arse full of noodles. Yes, the ones on the left.
Terrible case of worms.
Terrible case of worms.
Come on, we've all seen them. Haven't we?
Good answer.
Haven't we?
Can't dance.
Fantastic corrupt mate says can't dance.
Oh, ass full of noodles.
Yeah.
How can you dance?
Right? So, hive mind. Any answers? Yes.
Piles.
Piles.
Ants in your pants. That's all.
Ants in your pants.
Fidgety.
Fidgety. Okay. All right. So, are we going to go hive mind with piles, Buzz Now, or ants in your pants? Okay. The correct answer is, in fact, you are very lucky or jammy. So lucky you've got an arse full of noodles. Ned Sedgwick, explain.
I'm not sure anyone can explain that one because, I mean, how could that possibly be lucky? That's kind of... Anyway, that's
okay.
The wonderful world that we
I mean,
live in.
Even hard or soft, neither are good.
Yeah.
No, that's
like
true.
Cooked noodles or uncooked noodles.
Bad news.
Not interested.
Maybe it's ironic. And it's the end of the round!
Yay! The scores from Ned Sedgwick.
The ones on the left with an impressive 5 points. The Fantastically Corrupt with an even better 20 points. And Hive Mind with a brilliant 25 points.
Yay! The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come prepared with a question based on their culture or family background. At least we hope they've prepared. We asked them to. The ones on the left, brackets politically. What is your question for Fantastically Corrupt, mate?
So in Romania, when you say about somebody that he went to sleep on one of his ears, what does it mean?
He went to sleep on one of his ears.
Just wasn't listening.
He wasn't listening.
Yeah. Went to sleep on one of his ears.
Yeah, like he's just not, like, you know, like, you know.
Or can't concentrate or something.
Which one?
I'm going to go with... Yeah, I think.
Wasn't listening.
Wasn't listening. Gabe's answer.
Wasn't listening. Can I just get furniture because no one else gets to answer this? When you go to sleep on your hand, they say it's like somebody else giving you a PG. Is it something to do with a sexual practice to do with you falling asleep on one of your ears and then...
I deliberately disconsidered a couple of sexual questions.
Yeah.
What so no. It means you basically only hear what you want to hear.
Very good.
Oh, we all like that, didn't we?
Can you say it in Romanian, please?
Să te culci pe ureche.
Lovely.
Oh, very nice.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, fantastically corrupt mate. What is your question for the hive mind?
Something my grandmother used to say. It's about a man or a woman. So someone's talking about them and they would say, oh, don't worry, he or she is feeding honey to the goats. What does that mean?
They're spoiling them.
Spoiling the goats. Spoiling the goats?
Are too good for them?
So giving someone something is too good for them?
I was going to say pearl before swine.
Pearl before swine. Okay. So audience, is it spoiling somebody, Buznell? Or pearls before swine, or giving someone something too good for them? Okay, it's that one. Gabriel, what is it?
It's not none of those. It's you're not good with money. So it's like, you know, you got honey. Why are you going to give it to a goat? Goats don't give goats any honey.
Oh,
you know?
God. I feed honey to the goats all the time.
That's not incredible.
Consistently, it's almost all I do. I just get up in the morning and go, those goats really are looking for something sweet, baby.
Yeah. I was wondering what you were doing at the zoo the other day. I thought it was very peculiar.
Yep, I was feeding honey to the goats. The hive mind, have you got a question for the ones on the left politically?
So, in Colombia, and this is translated from Spanish, but if you said that somebody's giving a blowjob to a rooster, what does that mean?
Okay, so in Colombia, you might say someone's giving a blowjob to a rooster.
Is it something about getting up early? Like you're waking up so early, you can get in there before the rooster wakes up.
Just so I give you. I mentioned it was consensual. There's nothing in that to imply you snuck up on the rooster.
I'm not saying it's snuck. You know, it's sort of when you're with someone for a while, it's not non-consensual to give them a treat.
Oh, I see what you mean. When you're with someone for a while, you can assume a blowjob to wake them up.
You can assume it's okay.
So how long has this person been with the rooster? And are they leaving together, or is it just a sort of casual thing?
I think it's beyond casual if you've gotten to the place where you want to cheer up their day like that.
Yeah, you want to start, give them a good start.
You're not heading out the door or anything.
Okay, so is that, Radu, do you have another answer, or is that your final answer?
I'm thinking maybe wasting sperm. If you give a blowjob to a rooster,
you could
have used the rooster to get more chicks.
So it's pearls.
More chickens.
Okay.
So you're kind of wasting your...
So it's pearls before swine again. All right.
Let's go with Avery's answer. I'm sorry.
It's pearl necklace before swine.
Okay. Please, I'm sorry.
So Avery's answer, which is getting up early.
No, what you're doing is you're deadpan lying to somebody. They believe everything you're telling them, but you're just lying to them and making a fool out of them. You're giving a blowjob to a rooster.
It's not clear to see the parallel there.
So the person giving the blowjob is the winner in this situation. That's very peculiar.
You're telling me true. It's like, no, I'm just giving a blowjob to a rooster.
So it's lying to somebody's face. You're giving a blowjob to a rooster. They don't even notice you doing it. Maybe roosters don't notice when they're...
It feels like with the definition, it makes less sense.
Yeah. Sorry, Avery?
I think we need to give them my answer. Just, you know, take that back to Colombia and say, hey, this is probably a little better than what you've got going on.
Yeah, it's true. Could you ship our definition back to Colombia?
I mean, not to be even more colonialist than white people have been. Yeah. But,
thinking,
you know.
It's so unlike a white person to go, hey, you know your culture.
This
we can improve on it.
This idiom you have doesn't make sense.
Oh, Colombians, you've got it so wrong.
I'm going to give you a list of things which would make sense.
And you can choose from one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the round.
Yay! And the scores were Ned Sedgwick.
The ones on the left with fantastic 10 points. Woo! Fantastically Corrupt with an even better 25 points. Woo! And the Hive Mind with an unbeatable 30 points.
Yay!
Unless, you know, somebody goes ahead of him in the next round, in which case they are beatable.
Our final round is the round that eschews corruption. It is the Smash the Patriarchy round. We have just one question about a minority group who successfully rose up and managed to overcome their hardships and throw off the yoke of oppression, also known as the Stick It to the Man round. There's only one question in this round because it doesn't happen very often. This round may only contain one question, but it's worth double points. So if you are the losing team, this may be your opportunity to stick it to the man. But if you're in the lead, you have to remember you are now the man. That's you, Hive Mind. Fingers on buzzers. Why was the successful bloodless anti-imperialist coup in Portugal on the 25th of April 1974 called the Carnation Revolution? The ones on the left, brackets politically.
Yeah, we just decided to press as soon as possible because this is our only hope of having a decent showing at all.
Right, okay. And with that time you've bought...
exciting with the double points. We want the double points. Yeah. Doesn't
double,
matter.
Double points, please.
Okay.
We're golden, the underdogs. We deserve the points in this round.
Yeah. Is that your answer?
You will be unsurprised to know that the successful bloodless anti-imperialist coup in Portugal didn't happen because they just said, hey, government, we want double points.
Was it led by women? And that's why it was so...
You said it was a bloodless coup, didn't you?
Yes,
coup. Was it women that weren't on their period?
Non-menstruating women? So
just PMS.
It's not
just
really
like
blood,
angry.
It's more lining and tissue.
There's like 80% chance of that being right.
Yeah.
Women not menstruating or hive mind? Hive mind, yes?
Was it because they survived the whole thing on UHT milk?
Did they survive on UHT milk? Any other guesses from the audience? Why is it called the Carnation Revolution?
Did they use the flowers as their symbol?
They used the flowers as what?
As their symbol.
As their symbol? Okay, so use the carnation milk, Barsnow. Use the symbol of the carnation, Barsnow. In fact, the protesters put carnations in the guns of the soldiers sent to put down the protest. It's no good saying, I thought that, Felicity Ward. You've got to say it.
If you'd said it, you'd have got the point, sir.
I know.
You've won. No,
absolutely. And it's the end of the show.
Yay!
Ned Sedgwick with the scores.
The ones on the left with a steady 10 points.
Steady. It's good to be reliable. Good to be
predictable. It's a moral victory. It's a moral victory.
Yes.
We pillaged the globe the least.
Fantastically corrupt with a great 25 points.
Yay!
And Hive Mind.
And Hive Mind, once again, the clear winners with 35 points.
Irrevocably proved that while comedians are funnier than regular people are cleverer than comedians. Congratulations to the winners, commiserations to the losers. Please give it up for Avery Edison, Radu Isaac on the one to the left, and our fantastically corrupt mate, Gabriel Abulu and Felicity Ward, Ned Sedgwick in Pedant's Corner, and Mark Hodge on keyboards. I've been Deborah Francis White. Good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Francis White. The questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the Spontaneity Shop was Tom Selinsky. Thanks to Maud Pierre and everyone at the Etc. For more information about this and other episodes, please visit globalpillage.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.